Good morning. Okay, y'all can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Woohoo! Yay. Welcome to this worship service at Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. Isn't it a beautiful day? This is the day that God has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you take a moment now to greet those around you in the name of Christ? As you take your seats, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you, Wanda. Would you stand and join me now in our opening hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms? That's one of my favorites. And if you ever have watched Andy Griffith, I want you all to sing it loud like Andy and Barney. Well, or even Otis, right? Join me as we sing all three verses.
Blessed is one. As we remain standing and lean on the everlasting arms, we also stand upon the bedrock beliefs of our church as Christians through the centuries. We say what we believe in the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Let us join together and say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we come together this morning, we come together with our pastoral prayer and our offertory prayer, and we come before God this morning to be able to bring all of our brokenness, all of our joys, our pains, and our rejoicing to the almighty throne of God. So church family, let us at this time go to the throne of God's mercy with our humble prayer requests. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just to take a breath, to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done to keep us as we slept and slumbered and as we awakened to a new day. Fill our hearts with your praise, with your words, your guidance, and your direction as we move forward to give you all of the honor, the reverence, and praise on this morning. As we bring our prayer requests before you, we pray that you hear our requests and be gracious to us and answer us. Let us seek your face. Let us hear your voice. Let our hearts render your words as you speak ever so comfortably unto us. As the words come forth from our pastor, dear Lord, we ask for guidance, and we ask that we will listen to hear your words as you speak to us, Heavenly Father. As we wait upon you, dear Lord, let us wait with courage, and let our hearts be strong as we wait upon your will and your word. As we keep our church family in prayer, strangers that we don't know in prayer, our community, towns, our neighbors, our nation, and each other, and especially our church, we come before you as humbly as we know how this morning, dear Lord, to offer our offerings unto you and to give you thanks that all that we do will be paid back to the glory of your kingdom, dear Lord, as we diligently do the work that you have called us to do. And as we pray together, dear Lord, we come together praying boldly as you have taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
standing, let us turn now to the scripture lesson today, which is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One of the more popular songs, actually it was in 1944 in the midst of World War II, was a song entitled, Into Every Life a Little Rain Must Fall. It was made popular by Ella Fitzgerald. The name of that song originated actually from a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The poem was entitled, A Rainy Day. Some of you may remember that. The last lines of that poem say these words, Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. But it sure seems like sometimes the rain is more like a hurricane. And we know well about hurricanes in our area. And different categories of those hurricanes depending on the wind speed and intensity. Some leave more damage by wind, others by rain and flooding, and some by both, as was Sally. And some, like Katrina and Michael, can be catastrophic in nature. When Jesus spoke these words to the disciples, they were in the midst of what we might call an emotional hurricane. A heartbreak, we might say, of a Category 5 capacity. What was the context in which Jesus spoke these words to the disciples? Let not your hearts be troubled. First, Jesus told them he was departing from them. Second, he told them that he would suffer death by crucifixion. Third, he told them that all the disciples would forsake him and Peter would deny him. Fourth, he told them that one of them would betray him. One of the 12 that he personally chose would betray him. And all the disciples were asking, Is it I, Lord? Fifth, he told them that they could not follow him until later, at least not in the immediate part of that. So it's very difficult for us sometimes to identify with where the disciples were in the context of this when Jesus told them. Because as Peter said earlier in the gospel, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Their life, their livelihood was all wrapped up in Jesus. Not only their life here, but also their hope of the future was wrapped up in Jesus. And when he told them about his cruel death, and then his departure, it was indeed a heartbreaking situation for them. And I know as we bring this to our own time today, there are many forms and many types of heartbreaks. Very often heartbreaks are more typically tied to lost loves and romance and opportunities in life. I've been around country music a lot in my life. I think country music exists to identify human heartaches. It was once heard that if you played a country music record backward, you get your wife back, you get your truck back, you get sober, you get your job back, you get out of jail, you get your dog back, you get everything back. But we know that heartaches do come in many different forms, not just romance and lost love. Yes, there are marriage failures, prodigal children, death of cherished loved ones, loss of jobs, loss of friendships, loss of homes, not just houses, but homes. Loss or separation, two primary experiences that cause great grief and certainly bring crushing heartbreak for many. Our church family has suffered many losses, particularly this first quarter of the year, as much as any time in my tenure here as pastor. It's been a time of heaviness and grief for so many families, whether that loss was expected or whether it was sudden and tragic. As the disciples were facing loss, as they were facing grave disappointment, Jesus was looking to remind them and to remind us, to encourage them and encourage us, while we will not be delivered from heartaches, there is great news. Beyond the heartaches, Christ was bringing a promise to them and to us, what we might call our ultimate hope. Jesus encouraged the disciples to remember that they believed in God and to also believe now in Him. And as we think about that word believe, even as we stated our basic beliefs through the Apostles' Creed today, it's more than just belief. It's more than just a mental assent or an intellectual ability. It really means trust, way beyond just a simple intellectual assent or belief, but fully relying on God, fully relying upon Christ. I find it very interesting that our money has the motto on it of, "In God we trust." It's interesting. That motto has been around since the Civil War, but it actually was placed on our money in 1955 under Dwight Eisenhower. What that is to remind us that our ultimate hope, trust, is not in monetary possessions or material possessions, but it is in God. I love the quote by D.L. Moody, who said, "Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in money and you may have it taken from you. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or in eternity." Certainly we know that in this life we have what is a perishing earth and we live very temporary lives. We are rightly called pilgrims and strangers in this life. And we know certainly that we only have a dash of time here between our birth and our passing. And we also know that some of those dashes are much shorter than others. And that brings us to the question of what are we really trusting in? What are we really relying in our ultimate hope in this life and in the life to come? And amidst all of the struggles and troubles and trials that we go through, who can we really count on? Alexander McLaren, the great commentator, talks about this believing in God, believing in Christ. And he defines that a little more clearly in some of the comments that he makes about our faith. Here's what he says. "Faith does not grasp a doctrine, but a heart. The trust which Christ requires is the bond that unites souls with Him, and the very life of it is entire committal of myself to Him in all my relations for all my needs, an absolute utter confidence in Him as all sufficient for everything that I can require. Someone has made an acrostic of faith, forsaking all, I trust Him." Quite a statement by McLaren about what faith really is. And in his famed Aldersgate experience, the founder of the church, John Wesley, in that experience, he said, "There was a sure trust and confidence given me that my sins were forgiven, even mine, and that I was a child of God." Again, that belief implies a full trust and confidence. It is casting the full weight of our lives upon Christ, even as these fishermen follow Jesus. Paul expressed it beautifully in 2 Timothy 1:12. "I know whom I have believed." That's faith. That's trust. "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." And Paul wrote those words to Timothy when he was in prison. Yet he felt empowered even in his heartache, that would mirror the suffering of Christ. And Paul uses his plight there to encourage his fellow Christians as Timothy to remain strong in his faith, no matter how the difficulties might heap up in his life. Paul would argue that even though he feels that he may not be able in his own flesh, he is made able through the love and compassion of Christ. It is this trust in the provision and promise of Jesus that is our ultimate hope. But even more than that, Jesus went on to talk about what I would reference as our ultimate home, our ultimate place. We speak of that as heaven. And Jesus used three phrases here talking about our eternal home. He said, it's my Father's house. He said, there are many mansions, many rooms, and there's a place for you. All three of those. This is my Father's house. There are many mansions, many rooms, depending on what translation you use, and there's a place for you. Jesus spoke of eternal life to all who believe. And he makes it even more personal here. He came from the Father. He's going back to the Father, which he did. And he's coming back from the Father to take us to the Father, to our permanent eternal home. What I find quite interesting and ironic here is that when Jesus came to the earth, think about this. When he came to this earth as a baby in Bethlehem, as we celebrate at Christmas, we now know, more famously through the Gospels, there was no room. There was no room in the inn. Heaven's greatest gift came to us, and there was no vacancy. But here's the amazing thing. Though there was no room for him, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, he has made room for all of us. Notice it says here, many rooms, because Christ is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. In our church, in our doctrine, we believe in a universal atonement. That is, we believe that Christ died for the entire world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. It's not universalism that all roads will get you there. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Christ has opened up heaven as a prospect to all who trust in him and all who follow his ways. As John says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And later John would say, whosoever will, let them come and take of the waters of life freely. In Revelation, John was looking around, seeing a group that nobody could number. There were so many people, nobody could number them, he says. Revelation 7:9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. In the Father's house are many rooms, because there's so many people that are there, that Christ is bringing sons and daughters that he purchased by his own blood on the cross. In my Father's house are many rooms to accommodate all the peoples. There's room for everyone. And more personally, Jesus says, there's room for you. As we come to Holy Communion, we know that Christ has made a place at his table here for all, as we say in the invitation, for all who truly and earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with God. We will say that word again today. Is the meal that embraces all time and even the future hope that we have, that we will share this meal together, as Christ said to his disciples, that we would eat it with him anew in the kingdom of God. That is, when the kingdom is fully realized, when Christ comes again, we will share in this holy meal. We have an ultimate hope, And we have an ultimate place, an ultimate home that Jesus is talking about here. But there's one other thing about this that is really important. It's regarding the question of Thomas. Lord, how do we get there? How do we get there? That's the ultimate question here. And Jesus answered that question very definitively. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We might say Jesus is not a way, but the way. We might say he is the only way. He is our ultimate way. He said it very clearly here, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now that is quite a profound statement that will either cause people to worship you or perhaps kill you. And Jesus experienced both. But he certainly made it very plain, as we talked about last Sunday, he is the gate of the sheep, he is the door, he is the resurrection and life, he is the manna from heaven, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he is the way and the only way to the Father. With a claim like this, C.S. Lewis put it, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is the Lord. We believe and know he is indeed the Lord of all creation. He is the way to the Father. And our response is simply to believe, to trust, and entrust our lives to him. We have an ultimate hope. We have an ultimate place. And we have an ultimate way through Christ. One of my favorite stories from Billy Graham, the late Dr. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, was a story that he shared at a luncheon event in Charlotte, North Carolina, before he passed. He shared one of his favorite stories, and mine as well, about the great Albert Einstein. And as the story goes, Einstein was once traveling from Princeton on a train. The conductor came by punching tickets down the aisle, and he came to Albert Einstein. And Einstein reached into his vest pocket for his ticket, and it wasn't there. Then he reached into his trouser pocket for his ticket, and it wasn't there. Then he looked in the seat next to him and his ticket for his ticket, and it wasn't there. And he looked in his briefcase for the ticket, and it wasn't there. And the conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And Einstein nodded appreciatively, and the conductor continued on down the aisle punching tickets. And as he was ready to go into the next car, he turned back and he saw Dr. Einstein down on his hands and knees searching for his ticket. And the conductor came back to Dr. Einstein and he says, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. There's no problem here. We all know who you are. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. And Einstein looked up at the young man and he said, I know who I am, sir. What I don't know is where I'm going. I need a ticket. Having said that, Dr. Graham continued. He said, see the suit I'm wearing today. It's a brand new suit. My children and my grandchildren are telling me I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age. So I went out and bought a new suit. I bought a new suit for this luncheon today and for one more occasion. You know what that occasion is. This is the suit that I'll be buried in. And when you hear I'm gone, I don't want you to think about this suit I'm wearing. I want you to remember, I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. What a comfort and peace it is to know who we are as the children of God. What a comfort and peace it is to know where we are going, that there is hope beyond all the limitations of this earth. As Paul said, whatever we suffer in this life can't compare to the glory that will be revealed. Whatever heartaches you face, we're reminded of Jesus' words two chapters later in John 16:33. In the world you will have trouble, you will have heartaches, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And as we come to share in Holy Communion, let's be reminded today, as we eat this meal, we have an ultimate hope. We have an ultimate home. And we have an ultimate way, who is Christ. May we pray as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Jesus, we thank you that though you came to a place where there was no room, you have made a way for us and for all who trust in you. We pray today we would be reminded of your words to the disciples then, and we disciples now, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you for the promise of our ultimate hope and home and way through you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. At this time, when we prepare for our Holy Communion, we begin with our invitation that reminds us, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another by saying our confession and pardon together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Let's continue at the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I want to invite the Kaysons, if they would come. The ushers will direct you. We'll be having communion at the altar rail as you are directed. And you may stand or kneel as you are able as you come. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Lord, may we truly behold you as we share in these moments of communion. And let's rise in the peace that you give. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's word reminds us that he is close to the brokenhearted. May we rise from this place to thirst no more, nor to be hungry, but to arise in the sufficiency and the sustainment of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, we thank you that you made a way for us. Indeed, you are the way. May we arise and walk and follow you, that you be our way. And may your peace be given to us as we arise in that peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
God says in his word that he promises to never leave nor forsake us. May we arise in the hope and the trust of our Heavenly Father and go forth in honor and glory to him. Amen.
As Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we know that life is abundant and eternal. May that life sustain each of you as you arise and walk in his life and in his peace. Amen.
Would you stand and join me now in our closing hymn? We'll sing all three verses of Blessed Assurance.
As we prepare to depart from this place, a few announcements we want to keep you aware of. For one, we want to let you all know that Dr. Mike Owenby, our new worship arts director, is projected to begin and join us on May the 22nd. So we want to be able to keep his family in prayer as they make this transition and be prepared for him to come into our family soon. We also want to remind you today the Agape Hands Puppet Team will have their spring program at 4 p.m. We invite you to come back out and show support for the hard work that our puppet team performs and puts on for their ministry. And there's information to sign up for our upcoming summer camps at Blue Lake in June. Information is there along with registration date and the cost. And our baccalaureate service for Spanish Fort High School will be held here on May 14th at 5 o'clock p.m. For further announcements, you can call us in the office or go to our website, which is all listed in our bulletin. As we part from this place, we've had a blessed time in the Lord to come together and commune as family. And now at this time, we go forth in the communion of the Holy Spirit to be led and to be guided by all that He has called us to do and God has called us to be in this blessed week that God has given us. Go in the Spirit, the hope, and the love of Jesus Christ. And until we meet again, my friends, shalom and the peace of God be with you.